Today is July 29th, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover the fracturing of Federal Reserve consensus under Chairman Kevin Warsh, Japan's record $66 billion Treasury sell-off to defend the yen, and Bitcoin's pullback to $63,000 as DeFi yield mechanics get embedded directly into Robinhood's brokerage app. Start with the number that should worry every bank treasury desk right now, $47 million. That's roughly what got wagered on the outcome of the last Fed meeting, up from about $30,000 ahead of the June meeting. According to Jim Bianco of Bianco Research, that jump is the clearest signal yet that FOMC meetings have shifted from dead, predictable events to genuinely live pricing events. The reason is structural. For roughly 40 years, the Fed chair operated with near-unanimous deference from the committee. Bianco now describes Chairman Warsh as, quote, one of 12, and he's forecasting as many as 5 to 6 dissents at upcoming meetings, with a plausible 6 to 6 or 7 to 5 vote that would force Warsh to break a tie himself. Warsh reportedly wants to eliminate the dot plot and formal forward guidance entirely, arguing markets have wrongly treated Fed projections as binding commitments. The broader fintech pattern here is that forward guidance reliability, something bank asset liability management functions have built entire hedging programs around, is degrading in real time. And it's degrading against an inflation backdrop that isn't cooperating. Core PCE at 3.3%, CPI near 3.5%, and inflation above the Fed's 2% target for 64 consecutive months running. Layer on federal debt to GDP near 120%. Compared to roughly 30% during the Volcker disinflation, an annual deficit near $2 trillion, and an $8 trillion debt maturity wall arriving over the next 12 months. And you get a rate environment that's structurally more volatile than anything on record in decades. The NASDAQ is on pace for its worst July in 22 years. If you're picturing the volatility surface on a chart right now, this is the moment the curve stops looking like noise and starts looking like a regime change. Looking at the regulatory landscape from the other side of the Pacific, Japan is compounding the problem rather than offsetting it. Japan sold $66 billion in U.S. treasuries in a single month, the largest monthly drawdown in over 3 years, according to commentary from Felix Friends. Critically, this wasn't portfolio reallocation. It was yen defense intervention, with Japan spending an estimated $73 billion total to prop up its currency. Japan remains the largest foreign holder of U.S. government debt at over $1 trillion, so any sustained repatriation is a quantifiable funding cost risk, not a theoretical one. The mechanics explain why. Japanese inflation sits at 1.6%, below the Bank of Japan's 2% target for a fifth straight month, yet the Bank of Japan raised its policy rate to 1% in June, the highest since 1995, and has signaled further hikes toward 2%. That divergence, rising yields despite below-target inflation, tells you this is a debt supply story, not an inflation expectations story. The 10-year JGB yield has climbed from roughly 0.25% in 2022 to about 2.7% today, with the 30-year approaching 4%. Meanwhile, the 30-year U.S. Treasury yield touched its highest level since 2007. The broader fintech pattern here, two of the world's largest sovereign debt markets are simultaneously repricing higher on the long end, and any bank with correspondent, custody, or duration exposure to either side needs to treat this as one connected funding cost event, not two separate regional stories. Now to where that volatility is meeting retail infrastructure. Bitcoin pulled back to roughly $63,000 on thin trading volume, according to panelists on the Wolf of All Streets, even as distressed players like Movement Labs and Storage Labs work through orderly wind-downs. What's more important than the price action is what's happening underneath it. Robinhood's blockchain, live for about a month, is already the largest network by tokenized stockholder count, ahead of Solana, BNB Chain, Ethereum, and Base, with total value locked reaching approximately $500 million within its first week. Maple Finance confirmed it supplies the yield mechanics behind Robinhood's earn feature, offering about 7% on stablecoin balances by routing funds through a Morpho vault, with additional yield sourced from Athena. That's happening inside an app with roughly 30 million users and $350 billion in client assets. More importantly, This is arriving alongside CME Group's launch of near-continuous 23-hour single-stock futures on roughly the top 55 most liquid names, a direct response to 24/7 crypto-native venues like Hyperliquid and SoFi's relaunched crypto offering, letting retail users buy, sell, and custody over 25 cryptocurrencies inside a single nationally chartered bank. The broader fintech pattern here is a build versus partner decision point, arriving faster than most institutions planned for. Robinhood didn't build its own yield stack. It partnered with Maple's existing DeFi infrastructure to accelerate speed to market. That's a template banks and brokerages evaluating deposit retention products need to underwrite carefully, particularly the counterparty and collateral risk sitting inside those underlying vault structures, before scaling anything similar. On Pure Market Plumbing, MIT Open Courseware lecture material from Robert Townsend is a useful reminder that during the September 2019 repo dislocation, it was Basel III balance sheet leverage constraints, not risk-weighted capital rules, that limited broker-dealer capacity when repo rates spiked to about 10% against a Fed policy rate near 3%, a 700 basis point gap. The Fed and Treasury are reportedly still collaborating on repo flow decomposition data, which signals regulatory appetite for network-based systemic risk analysis, even if it hasn't been operationalized yet. And in Europe, verification of payee now covers more than 3,000 payment service providers across 40 to 60 registered verification mechanisms, according to Jonathan Cardwell of Banfico. An updated rulebook takes effect September 20th, with 7 new non-Eurozone countries onboarding next year. The scale of the problem it's addressing is real. The UK recorded £550 million in authorized push payment fraud last year, while Europe recorded €4.2 billion in total fraud losses, including €2.5 billion in credit transfer fraud specifically, up 18-20% year over year. So the fintech thesis update. What changed today is the correlation structure between three things that used to move independently: Fed policy credibility, sovereign debt demand out of Japan, and the pace at which DeFi yield infrastructure is getting embedded into regulated retail rails. All three are now compressing into the same window. Reduced forward guidance reliability plus reduced foreign treasury demand equals a structurally higher and more volatile long-end rate environment on both sides of the Pacific. And that's happening at the exact moment banks are deciding whether to build or partner their way into digital asset-adjacent yield products. The institutions that treat these as one interconnected risk calculus, rather than three separate headlines, are the ones that will price this correctly. Watching the rails. Until tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.